It'd be helpful if you can turn with me to Ruth chapter 2, which you'll find on page 241. Ruth chapter 2. In Ruth chapter 1, we have the picture of a desolate and depressed character called Naomi. She had reached rock bottom both emotionally and spiritually. Her husband had died, and it appears that she had then permitted her sons to marry women from the loathed nation of Moab. Worse than that, when she had planned to return to Israel, she encouraged her daughters-in-law to return to their ungodly and satanic religion. These young women must have seen something of Naomi's faith, and so obviously they were attracted to the God of Israel, and they'd been influenced by her witness, and yet she tries to persuade them to return to their old ways. I find this incredible. It's incredible that any woman of God would stoop so low in a spiritual sense. On top of this, just see how she complained towards the end of chapter 1. In her eyes, it's all God's fault. Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? This fascinating character, Naomi, then experienced a turning point in her life. And you see it in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 20. Notice how she responded to the news that Ruth had been gleaning in a field belonging to Boaz. Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken the kindness to the living and the dead. What is it that had occurred that had changed Naomi in such a way? It was God at work. And God had been at work right throughout so far, and he was going to continue to be out at work in this story. And in God's special plan of providence, Ruth had ended up gleaning in a field belonging to someone who was not only a kinsman redeemer, but was also a man of God. And that was something rare in those days, because we're told in Judges, everyone did what he seemed right in his own eyes. They all went their own way and ignored God's commands, but not this man Boaz. So it's remarkable that Ruth should finish up in his field. Now, Israel was just recovering from hard times, and so it had been very easy for Ruth to finish up in the field of a landowner who was quite unscrupulous. He would have probably ignored those inefficient production methods laid down in God's commands. Why allow any part of the harvest to be left over for widows, aliens, and fatherless? And on top of this, he may not have been concerned about the general welfare and safety of any alien on his land. You can imagine it, can't you? He would have been fully supportive of Israel's government's welfare reforms, where they give far less money to the unworthy. You can see it, can't you? This would have been a thinking, and it was the thinking in those times, because these were times of many ungodly people. And so easily, an unscrupulous landowner could have been the one that Ruth landed up with. But God made sure that Ruth finished up in the field of safety. You get this sense as you look at this passage, how there's this security, this in a way, Ruth is ring-fenced against all the evils around. As well as giving us a picture of God's providence, the chapter also shows us what true discipleship is. Although we're spiritually speaking at different, the two main characters in this chapter, Boaz and Ruth, they're at different levels spiritually speaking. The fact is, they are wonderful examples of true disciples of the Lord of Israel. It's great. This chapter shows me an attractive and truly human people. True discipleship, I feel, should always be attractive, because true disciples follow the one whose life exemplifies godly fullness in its truest sense. These two characters, Boaz and Ruth, I think are worthy of consideration this morning. I'm going to spend most of my time looking at just those two characters, because they are a wonderful example to us. Think of it, these are disciples. They're following God's ways. So let's first of all look at Boaz. Boaz. Now, in the book of Ruth, the writer doesn't set out any moral code, doesn't try to say this is the moral high ground. In the book of Ruth, we're left to draw out the moral principles for ourselves. And one great lesson we can learn from studying this book is that when someone becomes a disciple of the Lord, it changes their way of life. As a true Israelite, Boaz recognized that Ruth had put herself under his protection. God had commanded that at harvest time the harvester was not to reap right into the corners of his field. He was also told not to pick up what was left after the reapers had gone, not to go back to collect a forgotten sheaf. Now, it's quite interesting how it all worked. The men would go ahead and cut the corn or the barley or whatever it might be, the barley or the wheat. And then women could come behind collecting up the sheaves. And then after that would be anyone who might glean. But you can read about God's commands about landowners and how they should harvest in Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus 23, and Deuteronomy 24. And in Leviticus 23 and verse 22, we have these words. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 19, God says more on this command. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Boaz clearly showed compassion and concern for the poor and needy, and so it's not surprising that he should greet his workers in the way that he did. This is not the harsh boss, is it? You get the impression that he had concern for his workers, the way he greets them and the way they greet him and bless him. The greetings of both parties reflect his godly manner and his godly attitude to his responsibilities. And I want you to notice something more about Boaz. He didn't just honour the Lord in some harsh way. He didn't just obey the very letter of the law. But he went further in his generosity towards Ruth. Notice also his considerate, tender, compassionate and kind treatment. It is Boaz's kind of attitude that God's law was intended to promote. So we're not looking at God's law as being something harsh here. God's law is commending us to follow it in order to show generosity, compassion. It's supposed to bring out of us this warmth that we see from Boaz. So you see, to be a law-abiding disciple does not mean that you become a rigid and harsh stickler for a harsh following of God's law. But you do see that, don't you? In many different churches. This is a strict and particular Baptist church. Perhaps a Grace Church, Grace Baptist Church now. But people got the wrong view about what strict and particular meant. And almost felt, here's a strict and particular, I can look across this congregation, a strict and particular congregation. Strictly hitting hard the nail down every time. We strictly stick to the law. Whereas the law is meant to bring out something that's good and is attractive about us. And the Bible never tires of teaching that a true disciple of the Lord is a person who has met God and whose life has been transformed. The disciple's life then becomes a copy, though of course an important copy, of God's life and character. A delighted love for God's commands will be the result of a meeting with God. Boaz clearly showed this in his fulfilling of all of God's words. Before I go on to something else, I don't want to get the wrong idea. I know fully what strict and particular means. It's got nothing to do with being harsh about the law. I was rather playing at words there. But let's move on. Boaz, a man who fulfilled all of God's words, but he delighted to do it. It was a joy to him to be the man of compassion and concern for the weak and the poor and the alien. So he was a very good example of a true disciple of the Lord. But what about Ruth? If you want an idea of the standard of living for a widow in those days, it doesn't take much doing. You can look across the third world today and see that widows in the poorer countries are very poor and depend on the charity of others. And they're often quite pathetic figures. Furthermore, since wives were seen in those Hebrew days as possessions, just think about it for a moment. A widow was looked upon as an item that was no longer needed. The one who owned her has now died. So she was almost a nothing person to many people. So God in his commands had concern for the widows. But it's really hard to imagine just how difficult it was for widows in those days. Now think about Ruth. She wasn't just a widow. She was an alien. This was a much bigger problem. Everything was against her. God, though, had favoured Ruth, because she had become a convert to the true faith in the God of Israel. This is shown in her declaration in the first chapter in verses 16 to 18, where she said, "Your God shall be my God, and your people will be my people." She had shown her faith in this God of Israel. And I want you to notice also how Ruth dealt with her own dire situation. She looked to the kind law laid down by God to provide for her. She went to glean in the fields. She knew that God allowed her to do that. God had provided for her. She knew that. She also worked hard. She wasn't just like others who would wait for charity to come her way. No. She went out and worked hard and saw that God's law was in her favour. But notice how humble she was. She didn't attempt to argue against others in regard to her situation. She admitted that she was of low estate, and she bowed before the landowner, Boaz. Everything about Ruth attracts us to her. But notice why this is. It's because she acknowledged that she had found favour in Israel. And she also accepted the advice of others. Now, Ruth was not a perfect woman, but she was a woman who knew her place. She knew she was a woman of low estate, but she was willing to carry out the most menial of tasks but she had found favour in her adopted land. And she didn't try to fight for the pride of her homeland. She came from Moab, and she just knew that Moab was the lowest of the low. It was a place that nobody would want to go to. And she accepted the fact that she was a woman from Moab. We have, over the last few months, had a Chinese student come to stay with us who always is arguing about her country. She knows that most of us over here think very little, and we have a very low view of the Chinese government, and particularly their human rights record. And she's always struggling, and she talks a great deal, trying to defend the situation. You don't realise what it's like. We think this, all defensive. She's coming back to us next month, by the way. Anyway, this is not Ruth. Ruth is someone who says, I'm an alien. I don't deserve your favour. And so we get this picture of Ruth as being someone who is clearly humble, hard-working, but also trusting. Ruth trusted the God of Israel, and she trusted him knowing that he was concerned about the widows, the poor, and the foreigners. And she knew that God didn't fail. And she knew that the law regarding gleaning referred to her needs. When we trust God and obey him, he begins to work in our hearts for our good. You can see this is suggested in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. But it's interesting, there were a number of commentaries on Ruth 2, and one of them I came across said this: before God changes our circumstances, he wants to change our hearts. If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we will become worse. God's purpose in providence is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable. Conformed to the image of his Son, as we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Christ-like character is the divine goal for each of his children. So Ruth had become conformed to the image of the Lord. The Bible is full of references to God's favour, which we might use the word grace. Ruth had found favour amongst God's people, and she recognised she'd found favour with Boaz in particular. And disciples of the Lord are those who have found favour, undeserved grace and mercy, and their lives have been changed. They have become copies, though of course imperfect copies, of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Ruth appears as a beautiful character because she humbly modelled her life on the perfect model we see in the gospel. She humbly bowed before Boaz, but she humbly bowed before the Lord God of Israel and obeyed his commands and humbly recognised her state as a sinner saved by grace. So we have these wonderful models of discipleship in Boaz and Ruth. But of course, they are the main characters that you see in this chapter. God is not mentioned really, but of course, running through the whole book of Ruth, we know that God is at work. Many believers like to see evidence for miracles. And they say, you look at Ruth, there's no miracles here. It just says, by chance, she happens to go into a field. Now, of course, it was a miracle that she went to that field, because the fields were not clearly defined. You didn't have fences for the individual fields belonging to landowners. You didn't have signposts saying this field belongs to Boaz. There were just boundary stones, that's all. You could never tell whose field you were in. So it was a miracle that she should be brought to this field. By chance, Ruth went into the field belonging to Boaz. Now, Elimelech and Naomi had sinned by moving to find a future in Moab. And there was clearly sin in the marriage of their sons to Moabite women. The fact is, God had always intended that this family, Elimelech's family, would be there in the line of succession to the king of Israel. And eventually leading on to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That was in God's design. And Elimelech and Naomi clearly disobeyed God by going to the land of Moab. But God was at work. And despite their sin, he brought good out of evil. Just as we see good comes out of evil on the cross. It was God who was at work in the life of Ruth as he brought her as a widow to put her faith in his unfailing love. It was love at first sight for Boaz and Ruth. But it was only love at first sight because God was at work in their relationship. You might say, well, it was love at first sight because she had the right sort of makeup on. Are you sure? No way. It was God that was at work. It was God's intention always that an offspring of this family of Elimelech would be the king of Israel. And thus no sin could prevent him from carrying out his firm intention in this family. So even though Elimelech and Naomi tried to go to the other end of the earth almost, and go to a land where there was great wickedness, even so, God had his plan, and he was working through this family. There's a danger here of believing that the story of Boaz and Ruth is somehow unique. It's not. The hand of God is still upon this world, and he is still ordering the ways of men and women so that his plan will be fulfilled. Yes, there are evil men carrying out awful things, dreadful crimes against humanity, but do not think that any of their crimes against humanity will change the course of history. Though that Islamic State and all those evil men that work with it, they have no power to change the course of history. If God can work through famine, family disobedience, hopelessness, as happened here, he is well able to work through the politics and wars of today. So, God was at work. He is at work. And I want you to know that just as God worked through the day-to-day experiences of Ruth and brought about a great change in her life, through what appeared to be a very ordinary meeting, he can work in your life in the same way. Just in case you weren't sure, God has not taken early retirement. He is still at work in the lives of his people. He favours you. He will lead you in paths that you may not want to choose, but he will lead you in a way that will provide for your eternal good. There is no doubt about this. The story of Ruth is the story of the true believer. A true believer is one whose life has been changed by the hand of God. They have found favour in the Lord. By way of illustration, Harriet and John, Irene and myself know well the village of Cookfield down in mid Sussex. And there's a graveyard there with lots of people, and the names of whom we know many of the names of the people that are buried there. There's one particular gravestone where the husband, in my mind, relates to Ruth. and the wife relates to Boaz. But it shows me that this sort of thing still goes on. The husband, the epitaph against his name, a sinner saved by grace. That's Ruth. And the wife, hers is given. The word, you know, I couldn't think of the word given. Given to hospitality. That's Boaz, isn't it? Given to hospitality. Well, it just shows me that God is at work today and has been throughout. And I'm wondering if you're still thinking like Naomi was thinking back in chapter 1. You're thinking, we had such a great time at one time. This chapel used to be full, we used to have great things going on, but now the Lord has brought us back empty. And you're still like Naomi. And you cannot see that the Lord has not brought you back empty. Be clear about this one thing, Christian. God has shown you favour. And that favour is totally undeserved. And God is today lovingly working for you. But he also intends to work through you. Are you disciples like Boaz and Ruth?